Fantasy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book, coming to you from Tantalk Network's station here in glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Wow, I'm sorry for all of you people up north. I hear that you're going to have a blizzard. My brother has had 4 days of snow already, and boy, oh boy, you guys are really set for it. I can't believe it. We are so lucky to be here in Florida, where the weather is going to be, I think it's going to be 84 degrees today. So, wow, it's the kind of day that people take books and go down to the pool and read. And so for all of the people in my building who are listening, because they listen to me every day, every time I'm on now, I want to say I know that they are sitting by the pool and listening. A special hello to all of them, because they've been really very, very, ever since I announced the Patsy Awards and last few weeks ago, they've been coming up to me and saying how wonderful it is that I am honoring writers. So I'm really grateful to all of them. And today I have a writer. Well, and I believe that, you know, you can always tell when a publisher likes a writer. They give them a really great book. And the name of this book is Alone Out Here. Alone Out Here, and by Riley Redgate. And I'm so happy to welcome Riley to the program. Hi, Riley.
Hi, Patsy. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you fine.
Great.
Wow.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, well, you know, it's very interesting. I've been looking. Today I've got two writers on, and both of them, both you and the other writer who's going to come on a little later, Ray and Thane, your publishers must love you, because they, you know, publishers don't give you this kind of a fancy opening and a fancy, you know, the first page is fancy. They don't do this unless they really love you. So I was just wanted to compliment you on that.
Oh, thanks. It's been fun to work with the team for sure.
Well, they certainly saw something in this book and in you, and I think that you know, you have to explain this situation in this book. You know,
yeah,
I was
absolutely
having gone through this pandemic-y time, I wasn't sure I was ready for a book with another big problem in the world. But since it's set, you know, to 50 years from now, is that 50 years? I thought, okay, well, I can handle it. I can handle it. It wasn't an immediate problem, so I could handle it. And there were, it is one of the things, of course, that always gets me when I start reading, is if an author really paints a picture and really can take me into the book. And in this case, because it's a futuristic book, I really needed to get into the milieu. I needed to get into that feeling. And you did that in the first few pages. So that's why I continued reading, and I said, whoa, this is interesting. And I was particularly interested, as I'm always interested in numbers, that the number 53 popped up in the book. So I don't know if you had thought, is there a reason you use 53? We're going to talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, so let me, I guess, go through the sort of premise of it, to kind of contextualize, I guess. So it does take place in the year 2072, and there is a forthcoming apocalypse event brought about by a volcanic eruption, and that's on the horizon. And so the world's leaders and scientists and engineers have been trying to rally together to build a fleet of spaceships that can get a certain percentage of humankind off of the face of the Earth safely. But there are a group of teenagers who are touring the only completed ship in 2072, which is a prototype spaceship. And as they are having this tour, this volcanic eruption happens many months ahead of schedule. And so these kids who are touring the ship are the only ones to blast off safely and to escape the face of the Earth. and must kind of grapple with the knowledge that they are the last survivors of Earth, and that it's up to them to carry humanity's legacy forward. So it is a little bit of a kind of Lord of the Flies in space vibe, where they're struggling to build a functional society. The question is whether they'll be able to do that or whether they will inherit their parents on Earth, political and interpersonal mistakes. As to the number 53, that is the number of kids who wind up aboard this spaceship. It wasn't so much that particular number that was important for any reason. It's more of a range. So I wanted there to be enough kids aboard the ship for there to be a sensation of like a larger group who could be affected by groupthink and elements of maybe mob rule, like the idea of swaying public opinion one way or the other is an important kind of through line through the book in within or among the various characters who are kind of trying to grapple for power a little bit and control. So there needed to be enough characters for that to be realistic, where it wasn't just something that they could all sit down as a group and every single person would kind of get center stage a bit. At the same time, I didn't want the group to be so very large that we were kind of overwhelmed by a feeling of it being, you know, like hundreds of people, or, you know, we needed to kind of feel the value of every individual person and have it be kind of, because these ships are designed for 1,000 people to live aboard them. And so one kind of comparison that I was interested in drawing was the fact that they're only a small group of them and they constantly feel dwarfed by this large ship.
Well, I wasn't sure if you selected 53 as a feminist nod to the great Sophie Germain, who was a mathematician, and the number 53 is the 18th prime number. And Sophie, who, you know, as a woman, really had to struggle to get into this world of mathematicians. And so they named this after her, and it's called a Sophie Germain Prime.
Interesting.
So I thought, well, maybe you were, maybe you were like a lover of math like I am. I do quadratic equations for fun. That's instead of crossword puzzles, I do very complex quadratic equations. So
I love that.
I got a kick out of that as a Sophie Germain, and of course.
Oh yeah, it's,
you know,
it's not about the 18th prime, but I that's interesting. I'll have to look more into that later.
Yeah, well, you know, it's something people will remember. If for anybody who you know, likes numbers, they'll enjoy just having that number. Nobody ever uses 53, so all of us math nuts will really remember it. But it is a good number, and you do have a really diverse group of kids.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk about Lord of the, oh gosh, you know, so many. They forced us to read that book in school.
Oh, Lord of the Flies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was 12 when we read it for the first time in school.
Did they force you to read Lord of the Flies in school?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Well, I didn't love it then. I really didn't. Perhaps because I had wanted to be, not a British schoolboy, but I wanted to go to, I wanted to run off, from the time I was 11, I wanted to run off to England and pretend I was a boy and get into Eton. I don't know. It didn't relate very well to me. But over, of course, later on when I read it as an adult, I appreciated the great writing. But I must say that your writing is terrific. You have absolutely fantastic ability to create a scene and to tell a story.
So kind.
So,
yes, I've been working on this one for a while, so that's very gratifying to hear.
When you say that you've been working on it for a while, tell us a little bit about your background in how you got to this point.
Sure. So for this particular project, I started in a very early version of the project in in 2014. And I wrote maybe 100 pages of it before deciding, like, oh, this is bad. And so then I set it on the shelf and came back to it a number of years later in, I think, 2017. And then I did a couple of kind of major rewrites with my literary agent, and then it was kind of the submission process. So it was kind of, it was an interesting writing process because I would say it sort of took place in three or four discrete chunks spaced over the course of 6 or 7 years. And it's odd to kind of do that with a book because then you as a writer are sort of changing and evolving over those years, and then to sort of grasp your current interests and your current style onto a previously existing project is a bit of a challenge, but also, you know, it's interesting. But yeah, that was this book in particular. It is my fourth published book, so I am coming at this book from a little bit more experience publishing-wise than I had when I started the initial draft in 2014.
Well, tell us about the main character. I found her intriguing.
Oh, I'm glad. Yeah, so Li Chen is the name of the main character. She is the first daughter of the United States. And she is a bit of a kind of frustrating, slippery character because she has spent her entire life growing up in sort of the media spotlight. And so she has learned that she can't trust anybody, that she needs to keep any and all opinions inside, or not even form opinions in the first place because she has sort of seen the public reaction to any display of weakness or flaws from her mother. And so she's kind of like, you know, she has these kinds of anxieties about being perceived as wrong or about losing the trust of people around her. And as she is sort of thrust into a position of leadership on the ship, her lack of conviction becomes a serious issue because, as certain other characters begin to remind her, you know, it's very important for you to know what you stand for and to be able to define what you stand for and tell other people the kind of ethical and moral reasons behind your actions if you're going to be in a leadership position. And if other people are going to be doing what you ask them to do, then you need to be able to back that with the force of your own convictions. And at the beginning of the novel, she has no convictions at all by design. So the book is very much a journey of self-discovery for her and learning how to find what she thinks and learning how to gauge and to choose her own behaviors regardless of what other people may think or desire.
Now, of course, we're talking about a spaceship in the future. Did you have to do a lot of research to be able to write about it so really in a way that made us really feel that there was such a thing?
Yeah, and I hope that has come through. I am not a niche genre specialist. I'm not a sci-fi kind of specialist. I write through all different kinds of genres, and so, you know, I was very sensitive to the fact that a lot of sci-fi writers have these scientific backgrounds. I don't. So I was definitely doing a lot of research. The NASA website obviously was invaluable, but you know, lots of Googling, lots of searching, different types of potential gravity systems and propulsion systems, and even just like little details that you know, in a very early draft, I had the main character looking through the, quote, glass, unquote, of the spaceship's windows. And then, you know, over the course of my research, I realized that, like, glass is not really a viable option for the future. And so what the glass is composed of is a kind of translucent ceramic. And just so even down to kind of the smallest details like that, there was definitely a lot of trying to get every single detail right. Whether that comes through or not, I hope it does. But there were definitely many, 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 many hours put into it.
Yeah, well, I think it did. You know, well, I don't know. Maybe they're out there trying to build one right now. You hear about all all these things happening, and well, it could be. It could be. And I don't know. Would you get on a spaceship like that?
Oh, would I? I don't know. Not permanently. I'm interested in spaceflight. I think it's an interesting thing. Yes, I think if it were a temporary situation, then I would.
Well, you know, send Elon Musk this book. Send Elon Musk this book, and then maybe he'll invite you to be one of the people who go up on one of his spaceships here.
Sure.
You know, he gives it away sometimes, so you never know. You know, it just might fall right into his wheelhouse that he'll like somebody who, a young person, who's writing about outer space, and it could happen. You know, these things happen, and if not, the worst thing is, you know, maybe he'll just write you a letter, and you'll have, you know, you'll have a great souvenir. So yeah, I would, if I were you, I would send a letter to Elon Musk and send him the book and tell him, you know, I would just love to be able to say that I've been in space, and will you take me with you? All right.
Oh, gosh. I am interested in commercial spaceflight. I think it's an interesting phenomenon.
Well, right there, you could be a spokesperson. Actually, he'll need young people to be spokespeople for him. So it might just work out just fine. That, you know, it is a wonderful thing. If nothing else, you should go to one of the next launches and be there with your book.
And just to kind of throw it to him from across the audience.
Well, you know, the thing is, with marketing of books today, you have to be innovative. You have to think out of the box. I mean, what are you doing now to promote this book?
So there was a coordinated, the release date was last Tuesday, so a week ago today. I was down in my hometown in North Carolina doing a series of school visits, which was really fun. One of them, or actually two of them, were high schools that I had attended when I was down there. And, you know, I'm on social media a little bit, Instagram is my main active social media, and I'm on Facebook a tiny bit. I don't know. I have been doing some of these radio calls, which have been really fun and interesting because I haven't done those before on previous books.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm giving you this marketing advice, and I can tell you, if anyone can pull it off, Hyperion can do this because they are obviously they love you. They've done this. They don't take the time and the effort to create a book with, you know, inserts, with pages that have stars on them. They don't do that. They don't do that for most people. So that they've done this for you means they really like you. They have big hopes for this book. And I would suggest to them, and I'm telling you, contact them and say that you want to be at the next launch of a spaceship and have them take you down there. I'm sure they will pay for it. They can afford it. They make a lot of money, and take you there, and that's where you should be. You should be there with your book.
I think I remember reading about a book that was set in space that was sent into space. Who was it? Was it Across the Universe? I think maybe there's a book called Across the Universe that was quite well known. I think maybe there's a copy of that in space. Which is fun.
Well, you have to be down there. You have to come down to Florida to one of the launches and stand over there with your book and get you know, yourself photographed with some of the astronauts and with some of the people who are going up in space, because that's a way to get publicity nowadays.
I'm sure real astronauts would have all sorts of opinions about how the science is portrayed in this book.
Well, you know, you never know. It might just be exactly the kind of book that they would enjoy. They have kids And I'm sure they're wondering, what in the heck would their kids do in case of an emergency in the future? So I think that, as I said, your writing is excellent. It's just that you're a very talented author. You have a way with words. And I just want to, compliment you on that success. And I think that, you just have to get out there more and get noticed and get somebody to pay attention to you. And I was very happy to have you on the program today because I think you've proven already to the world that you are a fine writer and there's so much that you can do. So it's been a real joy to talk to you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a real pleasure to speak with you.
Okay, so now tell people where they can find you, your website, Instagram, whatever.
My website is RileyRedgate.com. My Instagram is at RileyRedgate. Alone Out Here is available where most books are sold. If you want to get it through your local indie, they can have it on order or,
Okay. Well, it was a pleasure to talk to you. And if you get yourself to Florida and you get a photograph with one of these people, particularly Elon Musk, mention me and and send it to me. I'll put it on my website, okay?
All right.
Okay. Okay. Bye-bye now. Bye.
Bye. Have a good one.
Okay. Oh, wow. 53 people. It is wonderful, really. I try to do that with all numbers. I remember numbers based on things like if they're prime numbers or whatever. It's good for your mind. You have all these, we've been talking lately a lot about gray cells and about memories, and it's wonderful if you just learn to learn. That's what you have to do. Learn something. Let's play a book buzz from Devon Miller, and then we're going to come back after the commercials, and I have another wonderful guest. I don't know. That's all right. If I don't have it, I don't have it. I can talk away, Ed. You know me. I can talk away nowadays. And anyway, we're going to be waiting for Ray Ann Thane. She's written 70 books. My goodness, how can somebody write 70 books? I mean, what is she, a million years old? 70 books? I'm looking forward to talking to her.
Hey everyone, it's Devon Miller, author and illustrator of the Mr. Tickety Talk Clock children's book series, reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest on children's book buzz. Spring is here, and that means you'll hear the sounds of birds chirping, the sounds of bees buzzing, and the possible sound of a rockin' guitar shred? This past March, international music star Kevin Jonas of the Jonas Brothers, alongside his wife Danielle Jonas, released their first ever children's book called There's a Rock Concert in My Bedroom. The book was illustrated by Courtney Dawson. Appearing on Good Morning America to talk about the book, Kevin and Danielle said they've always wanted to write a children's book. The book is about Emma, who loves music. She loves a good bass beat, she loves to dance, she loves to rock with her family, and she loves to strum her guitar. She decides that she wants to show off her talents at the school talent show. But when she hears the talents of other students, she starts to get stage fright. It's then up to her family to show her the fun of performing and also show that she's already a star. This book is all about the joy of music, the power of family, and facing your fears. This book has become a number one bestseller in children's performing arts fiction and children's self-esteem on Amazon. It's also in the bestseller list for children's family life on Amazon as well. There's a Rock Concert in My Bedroom was inspired by Kevin and Danielle's daughters when they realized their nerves would kick in for events such as dance recitals and school performances. For them, this book was to remind their daughters that it's all about having fun. And I know readers will have so much fun when they read this book. I know for me, I had a rockin' good time. This is Devon Miller reporting for Joy on Paper. For more book buzz involving children's books and authors, head on over to radio-joyonpaper.com and click on Devon Miller's Book Buzzes. I think it's about time that I buzz out now. ¶¶
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you ready to eliminate your home energy bill? Well, get ready to harness the sun. Go EHS, Effective Solar Solutions, by Efficient Home Services. With no upfront costs, you can save money on your utility bill and even eliminate your electric bill altogether with EHS Solar. Call EHS, the number one solar installer nationwide. We know how to customize your home. EHS handles every project in-house with no subcontractors. Remember, no upfront costs, tax breaks, and the best company in the business, Efficient Home Services. Schedule an appointment today at 727-353-3757. Visit our website and download your free buyer's guide to going solar at www.goehs.com. Go solar, go savings, go EHS. Call 727-353-3757 today to talk to our experts.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and I am back, and I'm just waiting for my next guest to call in. But I want to mention, first of all, Devon Miller did a beautiful, beautiful book buzz for, you know, I loved also the Jonas Brothers, and Kevin Jonas and his wife did this wonderful book. It's really great, and I've invited them to come on the program, and I'm just waiting to hear if I can find a date that works for both of us. And I look forward to talking to Kevin and Danielle about this book and about the Jonas Brothers. And as Devon said, they are wonderful writers. The book is fantastic, and I'm hoping to hear from them soon, and then we will let you know. Because actually, it might be in June. I'm trying to organize it because Devon Miller is going to be a guest host in June, just like Rita Moreau was a few weeks ago. And I want to thank her again for being such a wonderful guest host. And she had so many people complimenting her. And I had so many wonderful emails from people saying what a joy it was to listen to her interview authors, because that's what I think. It comes through what happens when people work with me. They learn that they have to be cheerful about talking to authors because, you know, it is so much fun to be able to help authors promote their books. And whether it is, you know, on the radio program or when I do it on Facebook or other things, like I'm now doing more Instagram. I wasn't really doing Instagram very much, but I've discovered that so many writers are on Instagram, so I've been really enjoying that. And one of the things that I've been working on really is updating my website so that you can see it on your iPhone. All you have to do is type Radio Joy on Paper, and you will be able to see upcoming programs, listen to interviews that I've had. So I'm really happy about that, and I hope that, you know, just contact me. My email is patsy.radio@joyonpaper. Send me a message when you like a program. I love to hear from you. And also, if you have a intellectual property question, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, our legal eagle, is going to be on at the end of the month, and he will be answering all of your intellectual property questions. So please, please send in the questions and let us keep you out of trouble, because so often authors are just get themselves in trouble by saying things on the social media platforms that they should not be saying. So send in any questions you have about both social media and about the actual contracts that you're being offered, especially if you're being offered a contract in Hollywood. Okay, well, now this is such an honor to talk to my next guest, Ray Ann Thane, and her new book is called Summer at the Cape. I am so happy to welcome you to Joy on Paper, Ray Ann.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Wow. The publisher loves you. The publisher adores you. They gave you a cover. Oh, they gave you a cover. I love embossed covers. I just rub my finger over it all the time.
It's gorgeous, isn't it? I just want to escape into that cover.
Oh, I do. I do. It's just so beautiful. I hope that they made a big poster of it for you, and then you can have it there. And well, all of your covers are gorgeous, but this one is particularly. Do you run your fingers over the embossing?
I do. I absolutely do.
Isn't it nice?
I snip the pages.
It gives me a kick when a publisher really, really. Well, of course they should. After how many books have you written? 70? Is that true?
Yeah. 70 books, yes.
70 books.
A long time ago, my first book came out in 96, so I've been doing this for a while.
Oh, wow, wow. You're going to need like 2-3 pages just to list all of your books. And the new one, Summer at the Cape. Wow, another wonderful romance. But even it's deeper than just a romance. And sometimes you say romance and it's like it's a light fiction, but there's such depth to your writing. And tell us about this book particularly, because I know that your readers are so really connected to you. They follow you and they love your work. So tell us about this book.
So this book is set in the Northern California coast. I have created a community called Cape Sanctuary that's sort of a cross between Monterey, California and Cannon Beach, Oregon. And this particular story is about two sisters who are struggling to deal with the loss of a third sister, which is a tragic undertone, but there's so much joy and hope in this book that I hope people don't, you know, be turned off by the sadness at the beginning. It is really, there are two romances woven through it. There's also a glamp ground involved. They're trying to save their sister's dream of a glamp ground. And, it was really fun to write that part because I love the idea of camping. I don't do it as much as I used to, but I love camping, the idea of camping in a luxurious place as well.
Oh, definitely. Recently I had a Nat Geo author on, and his book was all about wonderful places to go camping, and many of them are glamp grounds, and that's, I think it's a terrific idea.
Oh, I do too. Absolutely. It sounds so wonderful.
Well, I spent
lots of fun exploring.
Well, I spent many years Boy Scout camping, and that was not that was not glamorous. So tell us about this glamp ground.
So it's on a peninsula sort of jutting out into the Pacific, and it's owned by a man named Franklin. The land is owned by a man named Franklin Rafferty, and the one sister, Lily, is the one who passed away, and it was her dream to have this glamp ground. And the glamp ground is threatened because Franklin's son finds out about it. He's upset. He believes his father is kind of suffering from the beginning stages of dementia, and so he feels like the sister took advantage of his father by moving onto this property without a formal lease agreement. So Cammie, one of the sisters, is an attorney. Her mother calls her to come back and sort it all out, make sure that they can still open the glamp ground, and so she comes back and has to deal with John, and of course they have a romance in the end. And then the other sister, Violet, is a teacher. She comes back to help her mother run the glamp ground as well, but she has to be reunited with her old flame, who broke her heart 10 years ago. So there's a story there as well. But as I said, there are deeper themes than just a romance. It is about siblings coming to care about each other. It's about a woman who didn't necessarily feel close to her mother establishing a relationship in adulthood. And, you know, both of them, all of them in the family, sort of coming to terms with their sadness and grief over losing Lily.
And the underlying theme, too, of women in business.
Right, absolutely. They're all entrepreneurs in some way or other.
I like that. I think that gives the story a depth and a quality that makes it sort of separate from so many other romance novels.
Right, I hope so. And I hope, you know, my readers come away feeling uplifted at the end. That's my goal every time I sit down to write. You know, in fact, I'm looking at a sign right now in my office that says I may not change the world, but I can change someone's afternoon. And that's my goal every time I sit down to write, is to make people happy with my books. And what a joy it is to have that ability to reach readers' hearts and sort of hopefully lift them by the end of the book.
Well, I'm glad you used the word joy, because that's why I named this program Joy on Paper, because it's the joy that an author feels of seeing their words on paper. This happens even for the first-time writer, when you sit down, actually, like you do a NaNoWriMo, the National Novel Writing Month, and you finally, you've been dreaming about writing, and you sit down and you start writing, just seeing your words on paper is such a joy. And then, of course, in your case, knowing that you've written 70 books and given a heck of a lot of joy.
And it's still an amazing, astonishing experience for me. You know, it feels like every book that I write, there's some stage of the process, like probably in the edit, usually after I've turned the book in and my editor's gone through it and the copy editor's gone through it and they send it back to me for a final read. I read it and I think, did I really create this? Because I have no memory of writing this phrase. I have no memory of this line of dialogue. You know, there's just some magic that takes over in the writing process. And it's just a wonderful thing to be able to do that. I just feel so blessed that I've, you know, been able to do this 70 times. And hopefully we'll do it, you know, many more. I have many ideas I still want to write. And just hope that I can be able to get those on paper as well.
Oh, well, you will. You know, I had in February, Eugenia Lovett West was on my program to celebrate her 99th birthday. And
oh my goodness.
99 years old and writing strong. Her last book was about cybercrime, a mystery about cybercrime.
Oh my goodness.
When you're at 98 years old and you can do the research into cybercrime and write a heck of a great novel, you know, and really a realistic thing about something really a difficult subject like that at 98.
Right.
And she's writing a new book right now at the age of 99. And it was such a joy to talk to her because she could remember D-Day, you know, as if it was yesterday. And so this is what I tell writers. You know, it's not always just about the sales. You hope that you're going to sell, and you, in your case, after 70 books, you better be selling. But it's that joy that you have of writing and sharing with other people.
Right. The creative process is such an amazing thing, and it really does take, it takes the writer, but it takes the reader as well. There's just such a unique relationship, I think, between writers and readers, and I cherish the opportunity I have to tell stories.
Well, do you go to events? I don't know. You know, now that people can go back, because of course you are really you're big in the world of romance writers. I know that you had 7 Rita Award nominations, and I know that you've, you know, got a lifetime a career achievement award from them. From the Romance Writers of America, and, you know, all of this kind of recognition, but the conventions where you go, or we used to go in the old days, and you meet the fans, weren't those wonderful?
Oh, absolutely. I do miss that. That was sort of one of those payoff moments, you know, when you can meet your readers in person. I have a couple events planned this year, not super big ones, but I'm hopeful that next year, 2023, I've got a couple that I'm hoping to do. one in Australia and one in London, and then several in the United States I'd like to be able to do. We're still keeping our fingers crossed. We can make it happen, but it is, there's nothing like that meeting with your readers and having them tell you that their words, that your words have impacted their lives or touched them in some way or helped them through a difficult time. It's absolutely amazing.
Well, and they really do. The fans of an author are loyal, and that's what you want. Boy, you want that because they pre-order things. It's wonderful when they pre-order your books, right?
Right, absolutely.
And also, when you do get a chance to meet them, to know that you have touched their heart and you have given them that afternoon or day or week of being able to get into another part of their brain, you know, because sometimes life is so difficult for so many people, and particularly, you know, so many women have to deal with so many things in life, the caring of other people, struggling nowadays with just finances, that to have this chance to pick up a book, a beautiful book in this case, and just spend a few minutes rubbing the cover and then getting into the book, I think it's a wonderful thing.
Oh, I love my readers, and I love the opportunity to reach them. And, you know, I'm a caregiver too, so I totally understand where they are in their life, and I understand the need for escape. That's how I escape as well, into books. And so to be able to give that to someone else is such a joy to me.
When you get out there again, I know that people will really be happy. I know, as you mentioned, you have a few events coming up. You have those on your website so that people can go and see. And have you been doing Zoom events too?
Oh, yes, I do Zoom events. I have a book group that we meet every month live, and I'm willing to talk to any book groups that are out there that they want to read my book for their book club. I'd love to visit them over Skype or Zoom or however. I just love connecting.
Yes, well, we used to have, in my area, we had a very active book club, met at the library, and it was really wonderful because we'd have, like, food of whatever that related to the book, so it was lots of fun.
Right.
We have an author, Rita Moreau, and she writes books where she has a Greek family in it, Greek nuns, and so we'd have Greek food or, you know, whatever. When we had A Gentleman in Moscow, we had Russian food. So those were so much fun, and it's so sad that you know, we've had to really curtail all of that. I hope that comes back, because it's wonderful to do the Zoom events, but it's great to be able to interact with fellow book lovers.
Right. And writing is such a solitary thing that we really need those opportunities we have to connect with other people who love the same things we do.
Now, when you're writing, of course, you're the kind, I believe I've read that you're the kind who's a very well organized, a person who plans ahead. But still, surprises come as you're writing, don't they? I mean, a character can take over.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They always do. In every book, there's some surprise, and that's what keeps the writing interesting. I plot extensively, but my readers always take me by surprise. There's nothing, you know, there's no book I finish that ends up exactly how I planned it. And that's just sort of the way it turns out.
Is it hard sometimes to kill somebody off?
I don't kill very many people off, you know. I mean, I do in the general course of life, but I used to write mysteries and romantic suspense, and I haven't done that in a while. But it usually it's somebody who deserves to die, right? That's how I write things when I was writing mysteries and suspenses. But when I'm writing, like, this book, I didn't really know Lily because it happened before the book started, and so it was a different sort of loss. I was just writing the response of the people. If I'd written a character and been in their head and then killed them off, that would be very difficult for me to do.
Exactly. So I know that I've heard also that you were a Nancy Drew fan as a child, like me.
Oh, absolutely. I love Nancy Drew.
Really, I think Nancy Drew is responsible for a lot of writers out there.
I think so too.
Was just, I remember as a child when I read them the first time. Yes, it's just opened up your head to dreaming about being independent enough to solve a problem, to solve a situation. And so I was thrilled when I found another Nancy Drew follower.
Absolutely.
So just, you know, my readers are really, they've been struggling through this pandemic. And I know that reading your books have helped so many. When you are thinking about it, do you ever just like feel so grateful that you've been able to do this?
Oh, always. You know, especially in the pandemic, I was thinking, what a perfect job to have when we're all at home to be able to write, you know, and because I don't need to go anywhere anyway. And so, I did feel like what a joy it is to sit down and write and to be able to make people happy with my words. That's all I want.
Oh, well, you've done that. You've done that over and over. And I'm just really very happy that you were able to come on Joy on Paper today, because my readers need your books. I think we are all going through just news overload. It's almost too much for our psyches. We can't deal with it sometimes. And so I think a lovely book like yours is just a great sort of therapeutic. It's better than anything. So
thank you.
I'm
thank
really
you
really
having me.
Well, it's wonderful to talk to you, and tell people about your website and where else they can find you.
So they can reach me at rayannthane.com. That's Ray with an E and Anne with an E, RAEANNECHAYNE. And then I'm on social media, Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and all the social medias.
Okay. And people can get on there and send you a message, and sometimes you respond to them?
Yes, absolutely. I try to.
Okay. That's great, because I think more and more fans just need to feel this connection, and they've missed it with all this pandemic and not being able to get out there and see their favorite authors. But I want to again thank you, and people, you can go on Rand doesn't have very many events listed yet, but hopefully things will start getting better and you'll be out there and people can get to meet you.
I would love that. Thank you so much.
Okay, it's been a joy talking to you. Bye-bye now.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Wow, 70. Can you imagine it? 70? She has a whole wall full of books. And then I forgot to ask her how many she's been translated into, because I think her books would be excellent to read in translation. Sometimes I wonder, they translate some books that I just cannot imagine people reading in other languages, but these books definitely would be. I would like to actually see this book translated in Italian for my sister. My sister reads Italian. She is, of course, a connoisseur of cozy mysteries. And she would like this book, though. I think a romance book in Italian would be just the thing for her. So I have to ask Ran if they've translated it into Italian. Wow. I, again, want to thank everybody for their messages about the 7th anniversary, and remind all of you authors out there that if you are on the program this year in 2022, then in 2023, you might be a winner of the Patsy Award. And that would be so nice for me and for you. And, of course, for all of you people out there who are just starting to write, keep in touch with me. I love to hear about your progress. And I want, again, always to encourage you, don't give up. It is lots of fun to write. And sometimes you get frustrated. You get to a point where you say, I don't know if I can finish it, if it's worth it. But it is. Believe me, it is worth it. And you will be happy once you see your book in print. So send me your messages. And you know, those of you out there who send me those messages saying, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can do it. Yes, you can. And those, there are two of you specifically out there. And you know that I am speaking to you, just encouraging you, because somebody, you know, Rhonda Green was on my program. And she is a winner of the Patsy Prize, which was a cash prize. And that's a cash prize for anybody who is just a new author. So if you are a new author, then you can might win the Patsy Prize. And I want to thank, again, Rita Moreau for sponsoring the Patsy Prize, which was a cash prize that went out to Rhonda Green and Kevin Edwards, because they are both fantastic new authors. And that's what we want to do here. We want to encourage people to write, to continue writing once they start following their dream. And, well, and then, of course, something big is coming up. And I want to mention and mark your calendars, because Carol J. Perry is going to be here on April 26th. It is the release of her 12th book in her Witch City Mystery Series. I love this series. I've loved it since the day that I first met Carol, and she became my first in-studio guest, which is why I'm always talking about her, because she is wonderful. And in the 7 years, she's done pretty well. She's done more than a book a year. She started off here with book one, and now she's coming with book 12. So I'm so thrilled that she's going to be here on Joy on Paper. And the name of the book is Till Death, and you can pre-order it. And I tell you, pre-ordering is a wonderful thing you can do for an author. It is really a great kindness, because the publishers notice when people get pre-orders. So please pre-order Carol J. Perry's Till Death. It's available on Amazon, and you can order it now and have it. You can be reading it before she gets, you'll get it on the day it's released. So that day after the interview, you can sit down with a cup of tea and sit and read Till Death. It's a wonderful book, and book 12, and we're already counting on book 13, because in book 12, we have a wedding, and we're hoping somewhere along the line, 13, 14, 15, we're going to have some babies in Witch City. Whoa, that's going to be fun. But everybody, meanwhile, remember what I always tell everyone. One of the joys of life is to see your words on paper, or to hear them spoken in an audible book, or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words. Lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, streaming video, or perhaps a series on the Hallmark Channel. You never know, and you won't know unless you start writing. So get out there today and start writing. Or if you're up north and in a blizzard, stay inside and start writing. Anyway, say something nice to somebody today. I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Big Ed, for everything. And he's saluting me, and I'm saluting him, because I really should have been a general. Everybody have a wonderful, wonderful day. Bye-bye now.